from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash and wrap this smithereens. No, no, no. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Wednesday afternoon, Wrestling Wednesday. P1 Orange O guy always likes to remind us of the wrestling schedule. And Haktua Girl was at WWE SummerSlam in Cleveland, too. So, you know, he's on it. He's on the wrestling
schedule. I saw Raw or something, or SmackDown is coming to Portland like next month.
That's cool.
Yeah, they could do that now that they don't need to drug test.
Yeah, I was so bummed. I remember when I was a kid, I got to go to the last one. The last one, it was like 91 or 92 before they started that. And I was so into wrestling.
It was so dumb, too, like pretending like they cared.
Yeah, yeah. What are we pearl clutching about here?
The guys, do we all? It's like the Hollywood actors thing that people actually believe that Hugh Jackman didn't do drugs.
Well,
to get like that,
nobody that played in the Memorial Coliseum in the NBA was on performance enhancing drugs ever.
Yes, ever
in the NBA.
You kidding me? All the amphetamines they were on.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of drugs, dude.
A lot of drugs. If they actually would have drug tested back then, good Lord.
Kirby Smart is back at it. Kirby Smart, head coach at Georgia. He was lamenting the fact that he wished he could have some of that Phil Knight NIL money at Georgia. You know, the poor Bulldogs, they're really on tough times, you know. They get left out of the college football playoff last year. They're only the preseason number one team in both of the major preseason polls. Times are tough when you're in Georgia in the SEC right now. He has back at it again right now. And this time it is about the depth and the amount of talent at Georgia.
We got a long way to go as a football team. We are nowhere near where we close to where we need to be. I feel like we have less depth than we've ever had. And that's kind of a common theme talking to other coaches I talk to. I call it the deterioration of football, because every year we've been here, I feel like we've had more players capable of going in and play winning football, and every year that goes down. So we've got to keep working to increase that number.
Well, it turns out now that other teams can also pay players in a way that's in accordance to the same way we could pay players, means we can't keep our depth three deep at every bleeping position, to the point where we can send in almost an entire defense to the NFL and come back with the best defense in college football. And
Yeah, this is Kirby Smart right now is on the warpath, because NIL, obviously leveling the playing field across college football for a lot of schools. The transfer portal, leveling the playing field across college football. And you just look at, this is why the portal is really good for some guys, right? Whether it, you know, Alabama was that program that would just was able to hoard talent, and just they're too deep, could start for any school in the country. But guys like, you know, locally here, Trayshawn Holden and Kyrie Jackson, right? You are able to go somewhere else, and they go to the University of Oregon. Kyrie Jackson able to work his draft stock up and get more playing time, and did the same with Trayshawn Holden at the wide receiver position. The portal was a great benefit to them, because guys do want to play. Guys, ultimately, you want to get to the NFL. And before it was, yeah, the NFL factories that were Alabama and now Georgia, they churn guys out, and that's attractive to all of these high school kids.
But the realization that you can be Luke Kuechly and play at Boston College and still be found, because guess what? If you're elite talent in college football, particularly now with the proliferation of media and how many eyes are on you, no matter where you play, you will be found.
And there are guys that in the past it was, when you step into an Alabama or a Georgia, you were waiting in line behind, you know, a Jordan Davis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, as a freshman, you were like, yeah, I am not ready for that. You're right. But then as a sophomore, you're sitting behind the guy who had waited his 2 years to get into that role and was at the same level. And as you're a sophomore, you're sitting there looking around like, no, I could play. Like I can play right now, and I can go somewhere, and I'm ready to go and play. Instead, you're going to have to continue to wait down that line because they backfill their recruits. And that's what all great teams do. I think it's really interesting, you know, with Kirby Smart, and look, these are sour grapes, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, the fact that there are other programs that have the ability to bring in more talent, can use NIL now, and can use the transfer portal to their advantage, you do suck away a little bit of that depth from programs like Georgia. And I understand why Kirby Smart is saying this, and his depth is taking a hit, but at the same time, how many other programs are saying, we're as deep as we've ever been before?
Yeah, because the other programs are getting the depth that was trickling down. It's full-on trickle-down economics. That's what this is.
Our buddy Bartu, he tweeted this out. Georgia put more rookies into the NFL the last 4 years than any other four-year stretch by any program in the last 15 years. Okay? Kirby Smart knows how to get his guys ready for the NFL. There is no doubt about that. And he will always have that to lean on. I think the war of attrition, when you look at the mega conferences, right, in the SEC and the Big Ten now, depth is going to be so important. And he is saying a reality that you do have to have depth, or you're not going to survive. And he feels that their depth has taken a hit because it has. But I also think it's really good for the rest of college football, because we won't just have two or three teams trading turns at, you know, handing off the college football playoff trophy back and forth. It opens the door for more teams to thrive and more teams to succeed. And look, there's a lot of schools that are saying, it's awful for us. The reality is, you weren't in a national championship window before, and you're not in one now. There's other teams, though, that have risen their floor up to be competitive. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of these programs that, If you're a normal school in college football, which is, I think 95% of schools in college football are this, every 4 years, 4, 5, 6 years, your program makes a run to where you're like, we could be we could go toe to toe with anybody. So right?
You cycle through, sure.
Like that is the goal of like 95% of college football is like, if we can do that, that's a healthy program. Mm-hmm. That's a successful program, right? That is, you know, hopefully it is Oregon State moving forward. That was Oregon State, you know, in what Jonathan Smith was building there.
Yes.
Is that like, hey, consistently we'll win 7 to 8 games, mm-hmm. but every 4, 5, 6 years, we want to be a program that wins 10 to 12 games. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Those programs, it's really attractive because guys take a look around the room and they go, I see what they're building there.
And there's an opportunity that pops up.
And I can help them fill the hole in that roster that can take them over the top, right?
What's going to be really interesting, too, is with the change in the landscape and now the 12-team playoff, do you know how many coaches active currently have a national championship?
Active coaches with the national title, you have Dabo Swinney, you have Kirby Smart. And Dabo Swinney and Kirby Smart, because
you're missing one.
I'm going down. I'm like just going down the list. Jimbo Fisher's out of college mm-hmm. football. Les Miles is out of college mm-hmm. football. Ed Orgeron is out of college mm-hmm. football. Nick Saban is out of college mm-hmm. football. Mac Brown,
there you go,
at North Carolina,
there you go,
because he is 80 years old and yep. won one at Texas
20 years ago. Yep, that is the list.
Yeah,
to show you number one how hard it is, but also how much of the title prestige, particularly with Saban, has left.
Oh, absolutely.
And so these opportunities that are there, and Kirby got in at the tail end of the getting was good. That's really what happened here. Because, look, are the Georgias and Ohio States and the Michigans and the Oregons and the USCs and the Texases, are they always going to be there? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're going to be there. They have more money than God. They have more resources. They have better planning. It's just going to be a thing.
And you're in fertile recruiting grounds, yep. and you got it. Yep.
The thing is, though, with the proliferation of talent and how money is being spread around and the opportunities that are around in multiple conferences and multiple regions, I think you're not going to get an NBA or NFL-esque, like, different title winner every year. But I truly do believe you are going to start, that bell curve is going to flatten out.
I agree.
Real heavy in the next 10 years.
I agree.
Which I think is the best possible news for the sport.
Yeah, because you have more teams with an opportunity to mm-hmm. to go and reach the mountaintop.
And when a dynasty does form, it will be truly yeah. special.
Make no mistake about the timing of Nick Saban leaving.
Oh, I mean, look.
It's not just that he was old, but yeah. he saw the writing on the wall of he had created an expectation that was unattainable.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Jay Wright and Coach K in college basketball.
Yeah.
There's a reason they left.
Yeah, because they saw the writing on the wall and they had... Actually, for guys that had all been criticized of not being very aware, they read the room
very
and said,
aware.
Deuces.
Danny Hurley is staying at UConn because they have a built-in advantage in the Big East of not having to care about football.
Yeah.
So for the next couple of years, and he's already shown, guess what? The NBA will come calling when it's time for him to leave, too.
Oh, for sure.
So,
and he'll read the room and
oh yeah.
he'll go along with it. You know, Kirby's talking about the portal and he's talking about NIL this offseason. ESPN released their transfer portal numbers mm-hmm. from this season. 2,707 names entered the transfer portal in college football.
Isn't
this
that
year.
Half of what it was last year?
No. It was a rise of, I believe...
I mean, that was the total number of transfers across sports.
Of all sports,
yeah.
I believe it was a rise of 18% this past year.
That's interesting.
But if you look at that is a quarter of scholarship football players in college football.
Wow.
A quarter of scholarship players entered the portal. 72 teams across college football lost 20 or more players to the portal. It was led by UTEP, which lost 40 players to the transfer portal. 833 of the 2,707 names. And by the way, this is 2,707 names in college football from FBS all the way down to D3, okay? 883 of those ended up on Power 4 rosters. 610 of those 883 went from one Power 4 school to another. 148 of them went from power or group of five to power four schools.
So not that many.
Yeah. Jumping up a level.
Yeah.
125 went from FCS or Division II to power four schools. So it is, it's a lot of lateral movement in power four is what you're seeing. But of the 1,273 power four transfers that found a home, there's a lot that didn't.
Yeah.
Over half of them went to group of five all the way down to junior college. So, you know, a lot of what the transfers are doing are having this realization too. It's not just guys at Georgia who are saying, hey, I can go and I can plug a hole in on another power four school. Over half of them are going,
I'm not good enough
to do this. I can't go and play here. I need to go down a level. Mm-hmm. And that's really good awareness.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that is really good for those guys. 88 all conference players from group of five schools went to power four schools. According to ESPN. What do you think the position that lost the most to the portal is?
It's wide receiver, defensive back.
Defensive back had 594 players enter the portal. That is nearly 200 more than the next highest position, which was wide receiver.
Yeah.
Almost 200 more than wide receiver.
What's the position group with the biggest egos?
Yeah, DB and wide receiver. Yeah. And also, it's like if you're a really good one on a bad team,
you're gonna what's
get on out.
Toledo that Saban went after.
Yeah, yeah, and he didn't leave, but he said we went after him. 358 did not find a new home in the portal this year.
Just what do those guys do? Go walk on somewhere?
Yeah, 100 of which were power four guys, and it should be noted, a lot of what teams will do is guys will enter their name in the portal and then they just retire, whether it's medically or they just can't cut it. But 2,707 names entered the portal. 1,273 of them were Power Four school transfers. So it's interesting. There is movement and there is flexibility. And we all knew this was going to come, but there's also a pushback from coaches. So
quick little squirrel moment.
Yep.
Just something we talked about earlier. J.J. McCarthy is the first quarterback drafted in the first round in the common draft era, which is since 67, to miss his entire rookie season because of injury. He's the first round quarterback in the modern draft era. That's kind of insane to think about.
That's brutal. Yeah. No, but not a single guy's had like an elbow or shoulder or
nothing?
ACL or anything. Huh.
That's crazy.
Well, got to protect the quarterback, apparently.
Right?
Yeah, got to protect him a little bit more.
I definitely would have thought there was a quarterback that missed their entire rookie year.
The Great Tankoff next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Cooper Flagg is waiting to Stone Cold Steve Austin his way right into college basketball and then the NBA. The highly touted recruit out of the state of Maine by way of Florida, because he went to Montverde.
He did play for the Maine AAU team for a long time before going down and playing on what might end up being the best high school basketball team in the modern era.
Ooh. Who else was on the team?
It was loaded. I got to pull it back up.
It's okay. We don't need that, but I'll take your word for it. You know, I saw this today. Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander of CBS Sports, they did the anonymous poll of college basketball coaches. They pulled over 100 Division I college basketball coaches. Who is the best player in college basketball for the 2024-2025 season? When you look at the top five, or top four, North Carolina's R.J. Davis, 15% of the vote. Kansas's Hunter Dickinson took in 16% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama's Mark Sears took 22% of the vote.
Tough little guy.
And the number one player in college basketball, according to 100 coaches, 36% of coaches said Cooper Flagg, who's never played a minute of college basketball.
Yeah. This isn't a surprise.
Yeah, because guess what? Every NBA team's doing it too. Looking for the great tank off, flunking for Flagg.
Capture the flag, poop for Coop.
Flail for flag. That's too many L's. Oh. Can't do it. Flail for flag.
Lag for flag?
Ooh. Sag for flag was what was my original one.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they have, you forwarded this along, the SB Nation, 9 NBA teams in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes for 2025, ranked in tiers.
Mm.
Wow. They have the top tier, which is the worst teams in basketball. Three teams are in that. The second tier is just bad teams in the NBA. The third tier, which has two teams and is dark horse teams to tank for Cooper Flagg. Those dark horse teams are the Toronto Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs. Two teams that we talked about in being like, Toronto is going to be sneaky terrible this year. Very terrible.
Yeah, no, they're just not good.
But they play in the East, and then San Antonio wouldn't put a pass Pop to just shut down Victor Wembanyama, and they will use this. He put a lot of miles on his body, you know, during the Olympics. He played in a gold medal game and had to play more minutes than any of the NBA guys playing for Team USA. We just want to make sure that our long-term investment stays intact with Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, I don't think the Spurs are going to go anywhere near being bad enough.
No.
Remotely competent point guard play is going to elevate them to like 38 wins.
And they have Steph Castle and
Chris Paul. Yeah.
And
Wemby, we haven't talked about it much.
Yeah.
The line he had, did you hear what he said after the game?
No. Another defeat for France?
No, it was something along the lines of, I feel bad for my enemies because I'm just learning the game.
Ooh.
And I was like, oof.
Yikes.
That's nasty. I like that.
Wow.
He is only 20 years old. And he's already...
That's terrifying.
He's going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Like, yeah.
You can make a very clear argument that he should have won it this year.
Yes.
He finished second.
You did make that argument. And when we went over that, I was like, that makes sense.
His on-off was like plus 20.
Yeah, he was really good.
It was disgusting. But because of that, I don't think the Spurs, even if they try to tank, I don't think Wemby's going to sit out 20 games. Like, unless Wemby gets hurt, which don't want that. Wemby's floor is too high.
Yes, he is.
Especially when you play him at the center spot. Like, they're not going to screw around and be like, well, maybe he's a power forward and we can play him like Dirk and have Zach Collin. No, they're going to play him as a five and he'll be a nightmare and they'll win 38 games.
The second tier of just bad NBA teams are the Detroit Pistons, mm-hmm. Chicago Bulls, Charlotte Hornets, and the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, the weird one here is the Bulls because, yeah, they're going to be bad, but they haven't been able to move off of
Zach LaVine
or Vooch.
Yeah.
So
they're gonna be in the East, they're gonna be good enough to squeak out some games.
So yeah, it's kind of the same situation where you're like,
are they gonna be as bad as the Raptors?
No. No, I mean,
that's what I think. But they're in a tier below the Raptors in this.
Yeah,
they think the Raptors are gonna be better.
I don't.
I don't believe it.
I don't.
And then the truly preseason favorites to land Cooper Flagg, aka the worst teams in basketball, the Brooklyn Nets, the Washington Wizards, and
Portland Trailblazers.
Your hometown team, everybody.
Although in the article it's spelled Trailblazers.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is right there.
I'm going to have to text.
Spell check doesn't get you on that
one,
though.
I'm going to have to text Ricky about that one. Oops.
But I think that one thing that is interesting in this, and we have discussed this, if you look at this list of nine teams that are in the running for Cooper Flagg, this is why the Blazers are actually good positioned well. Of the nine teams, six of them are in the Eastern Conference. Yeah.
And they're going to beat each other up, and they're going to get wins that way.
And I'm not going to lie. Utah's going to be bad, but with Lauri Markkanen alone, they're going to be good enough to be better than the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, I mean,
this season
it'll be interesting to see how much they steer into the skid, because I have a Danny Ainge wants Cooper Flagg.
He does.
He wants Cooper Flagg.
Utah wants Cooper Flagg.
Yes.
The state itself, not the organization. The state itself wants Cooper Flagg.
I mean, Kalen Clark is white.
That part.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the Filipowski Cooper Flagg conglomerate would go pretty hard in Utah.
Oh, you think they'd go crazy over that one?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That wouldn't be a surprise one bit. I think out of this, there, one thing to kind of caution everybody about is, like, we have a lot of people here locally, and national pundits have been wrong before. Hell, Vegas has been wildly wrong about the Blazers before. Remember the over-under win total?
Yeah, it's 26.5.
26.5 back in 2016-17 season.
Yeah, I made a fortune off that.
It's
my single biggest gambling win I've ever had.
But people locally were like, I don't think they're that bad.
No, they were. And I at my worst, figured them for 33 wins that year, which was, when you're talking about a gap of 6.5, 7 games, that's a chasm in projections.
And this year, there have been people that have, like, texted in this show. I know you see it on Jack Ramsey's a lot, where it is, hey, I think this roster's talented enough to make a run at the play-in. I think national pundits and locally,
where are those dudes getting that sweet, sweet weed?
There is an agreement that this team is not that 2016-2017 team.
No, it's on purpose.
And
they don't want to be, because that 2016 team, you know what they had? Laugh all you want. They had Damian Lillard. That's what they were sure of. But you know what else they had? CJ McCollum and Myers Leonard, who just had come off that Memphis series where he averaged 15 and 10. And they were like, hey.
And we don't like Neil O'Shea here for obvious reasons.
Yes.
People in Portland do not like Neil O'Shea, but he did a really good job of sprinkling in veterans on that roster. That,
well, he got Robin Lopez for cheap, you know, for the previous era, and for nothing.
Al-Farouq Aminu stepped on a lot of out of bounds lines, but
and dribbled the ball off his foot more times than we could count.
Evan Turner was a great addition, and they
just
gave him
wildly
the bag.
Overpaid. Yeah. Alan Crabb was a viable basketball player that they paid through the nose,
and then got rid of him.
Yeah, got rid of that grenade real quick.
And
they got Mo Harkless for a used ball rack.
Yeah, I mean, the major upgrade this season on this roster was
Denny
Avdija.
Yeah, and then Donovan Clingan is a guy that you're looking at build. Like, you got two new guys that you're looking at building with going forward, but Donovan needs time.
And he's a backup right now,
yeah,
behind DeAndre Ayton. That's okay.
It's funny. I've been on with Mike Richmond on Locked On Blazers this week a bunch of times, and it's funny. Him and I have both come to the same conclusion when kind of looking at this Blazers team going forward, and it's that when I ask a question about the Blazers right now, the answer ends up being Denny Avdija for a lot of the questions, and it shows you, number one, how important he has the potential to be, but also how good he can be.
Yeah, he can be really good.
When he's the answer to a lot of different questions, you're like,
we just hope that doesn't happen too quickly.
Yeah. No, and it's, you know, there's a chance that he ends up being the second best player on this team this year.
All right. What?
It's kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy. Basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and save, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Coming up on today's worst day on the web. Look, the French, they're pretty mad. They stay
no
mad.
Way.
But first, here's a big Kahuna Sports and Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks.
Have you ever hated something so much that you wanted to get rid of all forms of it?
Yeah.
Like, and I mean anything?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because that's where the French are at right now. Is yeah, it
techno?
As it dubstep. The French, particularly McDonald's, very mad at Steph Curry. Here's the thing. McDonald's in the U.S., even though it's ours, sucks.
Okay.
If you go to McDonald's overseas, it's infinitely better. The menu options, the different things that they have, the different sauces, the different combinations, infinitely better.
Like, I'm not going to McDonald's for the menu options, though.
I'm just saying. There are more and better options.
Yes,
overseas.
Yes, like I remember when I was a kid, my mind was blown. Went to Canada, up in Vancouver, BC, McDonald's pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't great, but it was something new.
Blown away,
it was different.
Yeah.
I liked it. And I was here for it. Like, you're talking to a guy who I just found out last summer that McDonald's has a variety of dipping sauces. I didn't even know that they had them.
And here's one you didn't try.
You know who sounds like an idiot now when he goes to McDonald's? I'm like, hey, what kind of sauces do you have? And the guy's like, oh my God.
Same ones we've had for 37 years.
I'm like, I don't know them yet. Come on, keep going down that list. Haven't heard the one I want yet.
And the shame is you never got to try the Szechuan sauce.
No. That's the
Mulan.
That's the Mulan. What one is the...
That was the Rick and Morty one.
Rick and Morty.
It's the same one. It's the same one. So
okay.
They brought it back because.
Okay. Rick and Morty. I wanted to call it Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
I knew that was Nanu Nanu, not
Nanu
it.
Nanu.
I mean, that was Nanu.
Both have to do with aliens.
Okay. See? There we go.
Portal travel, aliens, same thing. But McDonald's France is considering getting rid of their curry sauce. And if you're wondering, curry sauce, yes, they have, like sweet and sour sauce, curry sauce because France.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. All right.
10 out of 10 would try.
Right? Look, yeah. I mean, they do sauces right.
Yeah.
They may be loaded with more salt than the Dead Sea, but, you know.
Hmm. You know, like curry, I've never developed a palate for curry. Because,
any kind of curry? Red curry? Green curry?
No. And here's why. Hmm. Because I had a neighbor, and when I lived in an apartment.
They'd cook all day and would just soak the house?
Like, for 6 months straight.
So culturally,
it was not, like, that's all I smelled. And so it, like, you know how like something like that happens.
No,
and I was just like, I can't get over that smell.
Culturally, that part of the world, part of like the process is it's an all day thing.
Yeah. I mean, the neighbors were great.
Yeah. But
they'd like, always bring over some food. I just smell it all the time.
They cook with it all day. Cause like traditional curries and when you're doing those type of food items, they take all day to make.
Yes.
And particularly if you're like, you're making them from scratch, which you should do if you're making rad Indian food. But the problem is that particular spice curry gets into everything. And if you don't like that smell, it's impossible to get it out of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the first time ever, this last year, I made everything from scratch. Boy, was it incredible. But my wife's like, you're never doing that again.
Because
the whole
house stinks.
Like just smelled like me personally. I loved it. Like I grill peppers and onions and some sort of protein like 3 times a week. And my wife hates that smell.
Sautéed onions is one of it's an elite smell.
It's one of the greatest smells. Thank you. It's one of the greatest smells on the planet. My wife hates it.
Bacon, which is also, it lingers. Bacon, sautéed onions, fresh cut grass, new car smell, new shoe smell.
Gasoline.
But, what are you going to say, glue next?
I mean, rubber cement.
We were learning a lot about Danny. He was a carny. He loved the smell of gasoline.
Well, mainly because he's dumping it into an oil drum to burn the evidence.
I think that we are, I feel like we are learning a lot of Danny's origin story
today.
Diesel fuel
burns off a lot more than poop.
So much is being learned of Danny today.
Wait, what does poop burn off?
No, diesel fuel. Yeah, no.
It's a joke.
Yeah. I mean, if it's burning things, it's got, you've eaten something more than curry.
All right.
Good luck saving that around lunch. But yeah, no. France, because of Steph Curry, debating getting rid of curry sauce and just any mention of it until the next Olympics.
People don't forget.
4 years of no more curry sauce at McDonald's. Yeah. Huh? Well, I mean, they were calling him the devil on the French
Have
call.
You heard the broadcast?
It's awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It was great. They were so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So sad. And they were just kept calling him the devil.
Which I've called him worse.
Yeah. What have you called him? Wait, no, don't do that. Nope. Don't.
You got the dump button?
Oh, yeah, I've only got an 8-second delay over here.
How many can I sneak out in 8 seconds? Yeah, no. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, that part too. I do appreciate the pettiness on this. Also, it would be funny if they're like all of a sudden forced to try the American sauces, like if they don't have them and they're stuck with now the very sugary sweet and sour or barbecue sauce. Remember after their whole thing with, oh,
yeah.
Let's see what happens when you start eating that sweet and sour.
Got to try
you
that can't hot quit mustard.
It. Oh, it's so hold good. On. Let's not act like this is crazy because we changed French toast to Freedom Toast and Freedom Fries. Remember when we had Freedom Toast and Freedom Fries over here?
Oh, there was a blog post the other day this came up. Yeah. They're like, fine. They don't want to take away that curry sauce. We'll just go back to Freedom Fries.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because curry's not ours.
No, but Steph is. It's
but
Steph Curry.
The sauce isn't.
They just don't want to be reminded. Either. They don't want to be reminded of
no,
Steph
at least
Curry.
They are along the spice trail, though. By spice trail, I mean the one that they stole.
Mm. They should ban the Spice Girls, too.
I mean, they probably have. To be honest, they're British.
Don't hold back. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I'll tell you what I want. What I really, really, really want.
Victoria Beckham?
She's great.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. Sporty Spice, too.
Do you know a name of any of the other ones?
Emma Bunting. Jerry Halliwell.
Wow.
There was Mel B, and then Mel C was the Sporty Spice. I don't remember their actual names.
Wow, you had the posters.
No, I just, look, my parents often lamented when I was in school, like, why can't you remember stuff that actually matters? Because I'm a black hole for movies and actor names and crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching on YouTube, like I am stunned.
Yeah,
I'm like
Dusty is dumbfounded.
You did rattle those off very quickly.
That was impressive.
I'm pretty sure. I think it's Emma Bunting. It sounds about right. But I know the Jerry Halliwell. That's the ginger spice.
Whoa, you said that a little strong,
dude. Now do the periodic table.
Yeah.
Helium.
No, don't stop.
No, wait. Hydrogen is first, and then helium.
There was a
and then
point in time.
There's like 240 more.
There was a time that I knew like the first 90 or something like that.
Yeah, it's called school, man. That's why the show "Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?" is brilliant because you realize how much stuff you once knew
that you
and
no
you're
longer
like,
know.
Oh.
Yeah, ninth grade world geography class final was a blank map of the world where we had to fill in every country and its capital.
Yeah. Well, and you
fortunately
know what?
For us, that was before the USSR and everybody broke up.
Super, super hard.
I got 100%.
But you know what has like taken, you know what has taken that out of my brain? Mm. I could tell you though, my buddy Kellen's fart back in 2007, dude, that it's seared into my brain. And that's where that's where all of the periodic the periodic table of elements is gone. Yes, it's gone.
Methane.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you. I know what I was watching. I was watching Planet Earth, and it was I'll never forget
you immediately
it.
Thought,
because
this
you thought that one was going to wipe out Planet Earth.
Yeah, dude. You're like, oh my god, did the hippopotamus fart actually come through the TV?
Whew. Man,
that like of the animal kingdom, like what animal would have the worst fart?
My dad.
I feel like I feel like the ape family, because, like, you know, they're eating a lot of fruit, and they have, like, the human, like, you still have, like, an intestinal tract that's close to ours. And if you ever, like, somebody who's just eating a lot of fruit, and you have, like, the fruit farts,
see,
like, those are bad.
I would have thought the leafy folks. That's the path I would have gone.
Yeah. I don't remember. Is a chimpanzee, are they an ape or a monkey? Because I just remember
it's an ape. They're not a monkey. I think they're just a chimpanzee.
Well, it's one of the two. But anyway, I just remember that
from
one video. You see the one
chimpanzee.
He takes his finger and sticks it somewhere and then smells it and he passes out and falls off the tree limb.
Oh, yeah.
It's a species of the great apes.
Okay.
Yeah. They're adorable when they're babies.
I guess that should make sense with all the Planet of the Apes movies now that I think about it. Check out the brain on Brad.
Oh, so we're going to say everything that you see in a movie is got to be factual and true.
Yes.
Very much
okay.
So.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Just all like right. A time-traveling DeLorean.
There you go.
Hmm.
So the French getting rid of curry sauce. Well, maybe. Possibly.
You know what? We don't
they
need
won't, well, to be
know,
fair,
we don't need them in your McDonald's.
They won't do it because they're cowards.
They won't do it.
Well, they'll probably try it for a week or so, and they'll just get a butt ton of pushback, and people will be pissed.
No, what they're going to do is McDonald's is going to sign Wemby to an endorsement deal, and they're just going to rename it Wemby sauce. And
whatever his favorite sauce is?
No, the curry sauce just be
I know
renamed to Wemby sauce.
It would be funny if his favorite sauce was ketchup. Just, like, really ruin the mystique.
Yeah, that would be great.
Or ranch.
Ketchup? Yeah. Otherwise known as American sauce.
America sauce.
All right, coming up next, the NBA schedule is going to come out tomorrow. I've got an idea of what a couple of the Trailblazers games are going to look like ahead of that. Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan. Portland Trailblazers and the NBA will be revealing the full schedule. They've revealed the in-season tournament as well. And there may or may not be some Trailblazers-related news later on today.
Oh, bum, bum, bum. Be on the lookout. By the way, you're... in-season tournament games, December, or you have, why do they have it
November
this way? On the schedule on ESPN site, they have the most recent game is at the bottom, and the December game is at the top.
That doesn't make any sense.
November 12th against the Minnesota Timberwolves, November 22nd at the Houston Rockets, November 29th against the Sacramento Kings, and December 3rd at the Clippers are the in-season tournament games that have been released. They do not have any Christmas Day games, or they do not have a Christmas Day game because
they're not good.
They're not good.
The Trailblazers.
And those are the other ones that have been released.
They will be home for Christmas.
Oh.
They will not be on the road. They will be home for
Christmas. They're not playing, but they're going to. Yes. They're not on extended road trips during those two holidays.
And because of the in-season tournament game on the 29th, Thanksgiving is on the 28th, you cannot be on a back-to-back for an in-season tournament game, so the Blazers will be home for Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
They will be home and not playing on New Year's. So basically, they got all the holiday breaks this year.
Hey, all right.
I've gotten a glimpse at the schedule, and in their first 23 games, they will play five teams that did not make the playoffs last year. And
that means 18 games against teams that were playoff teams a year ago.
And in that group of games that, the one of the teams they will play twice in that five-game span is Memphis.
Which gets Ja Morant back.
And Jaren Jackson back healthy. Yeah. And Marcus Smart back healthy. And everyone back healthy. And we'll have Zach Edey.
The entire team was shut down last year.
That was the only team in the NBA that had more injuries and more starting lineups than the Portland Trailblazers.
By suspension or injury, they were depleted a year ago.
They don't have
We get Kling and Edey twice early in the year? Let's go!
Right out of the gate. So, there'll be some fun things to watch early on. They will open up at home, and they will close at home.
Okay.
So, nice to see. They'd have 1 7-game road trip. They had two last year.
That's aggressive, but it's good that they were trying to cut down on those, the extended road trips. Remember, last year was that, hey, we got a point of emphasis to cut down on the extended road trips, and the Blazers got two of them.
Yeah, they have
and then didn't they have two other 5-game road trips last year?
They have multiple 5-game road trips this year.
Okay.
But they do open up a little bit of a homestand, and they close the season basically with a road trip. They finish at home, but majority of that is
All right.
On the road. We'll get more specific tomorrow. I'm not going to take too much of their thunder ahead of the schedule release tomorrow. I believe it's at 3 o'clock Eastern. So it might
be right at the top of the show. Let's go.
I believe that's the time. Of which case, I will have everything. I mean, I have everything, but I'll have all of the breakdowns for.
Look, I'm not.
You know what I'm going to do tonight, right? That's a win. That's a loss.
That's a win. But no, I was just about to do that, like in those first 23 games when 18 of them are against playoff teams from a year ago, and then two of them are against a team that should be a playoff team in Memphis this year. So you're looking at 20 of your first 23 games are against very good opponents. That makes it a lot easier for Portland to naturally say at the
They're 3-18.
We ain't that good right now. But then at the end of the year, you can roll out all your young guys and you can maybe catch a few wins at the on the back half of the back quarter of the season to kind of leave with a better taste in your mouth. Then I think the worst part for Blazer fans is when at the end of the year, you've kind of been in this no man's land where it's like, we have to be really bad at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It's always nice to like end it and be like, hey, there's something to look forward to maybe next year. If you're really bad, you show a little improvement and you have guys actually trying and playing at the end of the year, and then you still are at the bottom of the standings.
If you basically, if you get pummeled in the beginning, then you can also maybe be okay at the end and not have to pull the plug entirely.
Yeah.
So it's a little fun thing to look forward to. Like I said, we'll have the full schedule release tomorrow when that comes out. And then we might, again, have some more Blazers news here in a couple hours.
All right.
But coming up next, we continue our college football rivalry trophy bracket.
Well,
yesterday's winners and the head-to-head for today. And again, the random draw has some bangers that are going head-to-head. Coming up next year on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.